कामायहं ददाति सा पदन्तिकम् अगदानश्च नन्दन्ते इदं याच्ये पुनः पुनः श्रीमाद्रूपा पदं भोज सुविशं जन्म जन्मनि Parāgīya-bhakti-viṣaṁsa-yatnāya. Haritha, whoever just, yes. Apāyāmāmāna-bhikṣa-mandam Kṛpaṁ-duhiyā-paradhūka-dhūki Sanātana-stham prabhamāsana-yāmi Vanchya-kalpā-tarūbhyaśca Kṛpā-sindhu-bhaye-bhacā Patitānam-bhāvanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasude Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from New York City. I'm at the apartment of Kastuba and Gita Priya. Yesterday night, afternoon, we did a nice program in Amir Nimai's place, which is just a block from here. And very, very nice turnout of devotees for Kirtan Katha and Prasad. So here we are following the life of Narada Muni. In fact, we're following within the Bhagavatam several lives. And we follow the path of the soul who is attaining perfection. And in all the subtle developments, actually in one of my favorite books is Ramananda Samvad, a section in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, in his pursuit of experiencing and gaining the taste of his devotees' love for Krishna. In that pursuit, two people are particularly prominent, his initiating spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, and upon meeting him, there was a transformation. This is a basic point that is through all the Shastra, that transformation in consciousness, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, the chitta, the subtle body, which has been contaminated with fruitive desire, material desires, it becomes purified in the association of advanced devotees according to your receptivity and their intensity of devotion and awareness of Krishna. And then he meets Ramananda Roy on the, I believe it's the recommendation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he asked him, what is the, can you ascertain the topmost verse in the scripture? And a progression of spiritual attainments are achieved and they are described. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, is looking for the highest thing, and the initial answers, the initial verses given, he rejects ahobaya. They are external, although they're purificatory processes like renunciation, etc. They're external. They're external to what? They're external to the nature of the soul, which is to serve God. Renunciation is external to the nature of the soul. Although it's purifying, it may help one to reveal the soul. Anyway, the point I'm making is that there's such a gradations of spiritual advancement, spiritual attainment, etc. And even the process, I think there was once a class given from Shraddha to Prem. Rupa Goswami outlines carefully the stages of how faith develops, beginning with just appreciation, adau Shraddha, and how that increase in faith leads to association of devotees, that increase in faith leads to the practices of Krishna consciousness, that increase in faith leads to the inspiration to purify our hearts of things that are valueless to our goal of pure devotional service. That increase in faith leads to being fixed in that activity. And that increase in faith will eventually mature into legitimate taste in Krishna consciousness, which is so strong that wherever the mind goes, one will pull it back until you get to the stage that's described here, which is asakti, where devotional service flows. And that it's not that you pull the mind back, but the mind automatically flows back. It's just like a river coming from a mountain. Its goal is the base of the mountain. The goal may be the ocean. When that river flows, even if there's a detour, you don't have to make any extraneous effort to bring it back. Even if there's something blocking that river, it may stop and the water may gather until it goes over the obstacle or it goes around the obstacle. So that's the stage that's basically being described in this verse. And hopefully some of you are able to follow this along with the Bhagavatam. But before I discuss more about this verse, it's a class that's once a week. I always like to put it in context. This first canto is the history of how the Bhagavatam is spoken. And that means it's about Narada Muni. It's basically about Vyasadeva. It's about Sukadeva Goswami. It's about Maharaj Prakriti. These are all the histories because the Bhagavatam is spoken again and again. So, this first history is particularly important, Vyasadeva, the literary editor. And it's important to see how he wrote the Bhagavatam because if you want to understand a particular book, you should understand the author's intent in writing it. And that this whole history just highlights the glorious nature of the Bhagavatam, because after compiling the Vedas, he's chastised by Narada Muni, and he also senses it himself internally. That's the Chaita Guru, and then the spiritual master, the external manifestation of the Supersoul. It confirms the same thing, that your philosophy is incomplete because it wasn't a practical path for people to achieve perfection, which is pure devotional service. And that the most efficacious process is to glorify the Supreme Lord directly, because that has direct impact on the root of ignorance, which is the heart. Spiritual life means to change the heart, change your conception, change your desires. And this process of chanting and hearing is so powerful because it's the most absorbing. Hearing sound, Prabhupada gives the practical example, when someone is sleeping, you know, there's none of the senses can awake him. Basically, the most effective one is sound. That's why we have alarm clocks. And the nature of this sound, it's so absorbing. It has such an impact on the consciousness. It goes right into the ear, into the heart. And it's Krishna. And in association with Krishna, the sincere soul, his natural love for Krishna awakens in the heart and awakens his desire to serve Krishna, which is the nature of the soul, and is a direct counter to what brings us to the material world, which is the selfishness and the desire to be independent of God. The hankar, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. It roots it out by changing the core material consciousness. You begin to develop love and devotion. So Akhila Darshan, a philosophy which doesn't effectively do this is not the proper darshan. Darshan means to see, or it means to see the truth. Akhila means it's an incomplete vision of the truth. It doesn't get to the goal. So Narada Muni explains this. We didn't have time to describe this. And then to explain the point, he explains his whole life. He explains his life. He illustrates the philosophy, and he illustrates it in his own life, because by that process, he became the great sage Narada Muni from a forlorn son of a maidservant. So this was the process. I'm just going to read the verses again because it's just interesting. Oh, Muni, in the last millennium, I was born as the son of a certain maidservant engaged in the service of Brahmins who were following the principle of Vedanta. These were Bhakti Vedantas. They actually were doing Sankirtan. And they were talking Krishna Katha. And when they were living together, I was engaged in their personal service. And from this, an attraction, paramaguyam. So the first thing is the association of devotees, because when you associate with someone, you associate with their nature, and their nature means their thinking, their feeling, and willing. And a devotee means that thinking, feeling, and willing is affection for Krishna. It's a tense awareness of Krishna. If you serve someone, you have to you serve their will, you serve their desires. That desire, to some extent, you come in contact with that desire, and it's very, very powerful. And I'll just read one sentence from each purport. Prabhupada said, by the service of the bona fide spiritual master, the Lord consents to reveal himself in proportion to the service rendered. I'm just going to read because I feel these purports are just impregnated in proportion to the service rendered. And service doesn't just mean the activity, it means the consciousness in which is done. Because the activity without the proper consciousness is not complete service. And in fact, Narada Muni, when he eventually takes darshan of the Supreme Lord, and then the Supreme Lord leaves, and then he wants to see the Supreme Lord again. One of the reasons the Supreme Lord comes in this Akashvani, this unembodied voice, says you're not complete in service. And not complete in service just doesn't mean the work you do. It means because service means what? It means to please whom you are serving. And ultimately what pleases someone is love. And the service itself is an embodiment of that love. So to the proportion of that love, which manifests actively in service, naturally the Supreme Lord as a person reveals himself. And this, so anyway, Prabhupada's making the point, the service of the great souls. So he begins to serve them. Although they were impartial by nature, those followers of the Vedanta blessed me with their causeless mercy. As far as I was concerned, I was self-controlled and had no attachment to sports, even though I was a boy. In addition, I was not naughty, and I did not speak more than required. So, so very interesting. Narada Muni, the great sages, they saw his service and he attracted their mercy. And attracting mercy means what? Understand that when you're talking about sages and souls, you're talking about elevated persons. And elevated persons reciprocate relationship. Even though they're impartial by nature, it means they'll reciprocate and help and respond to anyone who is a receptacle for their mercy. So somehow or other, Narada Muni, by his nature, I described before, one of the key factors is he was born in a very humble position, and that made him in a mood of that engendered within him a dependent and humble mood, and a need for some type of shelter. And the Bhaktivedantas naturally gave him shelter, and gave him shelter. What's shelter? Shelter is their causeless mercy. Causeless mercy. They blessed him. They causeless mercy is that they accepted his faith. They accepted his faith. And based on that faith, they directed him, engaged him in service to purify him. So this is how the process works. And it also described that Narada Muni was serious. He was serious about taking shelter. And he had faith. I was discussing this yesterday because in my Bhakti Sandarbha class, which is on Wednesday, we're talking about the first practice of devotional service, the gateway to Bhakti, which is Sharanagata, which is surrender, which literally means taking shelter. And I was analyzing that. What does it mean? What is our shelter? What is our shelter? And what is shelter? Our shelter is our relationship with God. Because that's the only thing that can fully satisfy our heart eternally. That's real shelter. Shelter is being satisfied. And real shelter is being satisfied eternally. And real shelter is a shelter that can protect that bhava or that satisfaction eternally. And therefore, the real shelter is shelter in God. And one who has faith, he takes shelter in God through his holy name. And he understands, yes, I have, this is shelter. This is my eternal position of unlimited happiness and satisfaction. And if I don't realize it, this action will help me to actually realize it. But this is shelter, and a devotee has that full faith. Even in the face of death, how many people feel they have shelter in the face of death, actually realize that shelter? Yesterday I was describing an uncle of mine who was a chaplain in World War II, and when his ship sunk by the Germans, he was with three other chaplains. They got everyone else off the ship. They were so much in the mood of that their duty was service to God, and service to God means to serve, help others. They got everybody else off the ship, and the ship went down, and they were just in full faith with hands folded. People saw them as the ship went down, singing the Psalms of David. I was thinking how much faith they had in their relationship with God. They felt sheltered in the face of death to the extent that in their duty they could sacrifice their life, feeling full shelter. So you see this story of Narada Muni, just somehow that humble disposition made him a receptacle for mercy because he was able to be dependent and seek shelter. And the Bhaktivedantas, how can these Bhaktivedantas want people who have devotion in their heart not melt in the face of someone who has need in that way. Only once by their permission I took the remnants of food, and by doing so all sins were at once eradicated. Just being engaged, I became purified in heart, and at that time the very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to me. So this is also a concept that how powerful bhakti is, that one has a humble and dependent nature without offense, then bhakti immediately affects one and purifies one. In the second verse of the Bhagavatam, it says that. Sadyo varudyate prakativi susushubi pakshanat. That by hearing the Bhagavatam, once immediately the effect is there within the heart. That's the nature of bhakti. And if the effect is not there, it's because of offenses. It's because that we don't want the message of the Bhagavatam, we remain independent. And therefore, we have to hear again and again, we have to do devotional practices again and again, purify our heart again and again and again, and then the effect is eventually there. But one who is kritivi, who is pious in heart, is humble in heart, dependent in heart, and so the example is here, they just want. He was serving them, cleaning their ashram, perhaps washing their clothes, and one day they just, with their hand, called them over. You know, they're thinking, oh, look at that nice, sincere, humble boy. And they put their hand on their plate, and they chewed one piece of apple, a little piece left, and they put it in his hand, and Narada Muni, so humble, he put this non-muting of phones sometimes. I guess I can hear someone's breathing. He put the apple to his head. You know, he put it above his head, maybe. I'm just speculating what it was. And with so much faith, Maha Pistadam Govinde, Nama Brahmani Vaishnave, Swampam. Up your sopa punya ritorajam vishvaso, just a little bit, opam, vishvaso, nabaja, with faith, mahapisara, with faith. He put it to his head and the effect was there. It was offered to the Supreme Lord, maha, mahapisaram, from, and thus, in that way, being purified when the sins are, you know, then naturally, when the material desires are gone, you can more readily appreciate the devotee, his purity of heart. And their nature became increasingly attracted to them. And again, I'll read what Prabhupada says in the purport. There are many things which hinder one from entering devotional service, but by the association of pure devotees, all these obstacles are removed. The neophyte devotee becomes practically enriched with the transcendental qualities of the pure devotee, which means attraction for the personality of Godhead's name, fame, qualities, and pastimes. Infection of the qualities of the pure devotee means to imbibe the taste of pure devotion, always in the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. So, this is the real process of the association of devotees. We become attracted to their nature. And what is their nature? It's glorifying Krishna, which is bhakti. Your taste for chanting and hearing is bhakti. You can't get away. I always give this example when Vorijan, we were living in Vrindavan, and we were living in the Gurukul building, and he was the chairman of the GBC, and he was teaching, and the room, you know, everybody would walk by his room. So he's such a nice devotee, people would want to come in and sit and talk with him. Because he was so accessible, you just walk by his room, you see him at his desk. But he had so much work, and he was writing books. So what he would do when anyone would come in, because he couldn't waste time, he would say, they would start talking to him, so many different things, and he would say, okay, why don't we read the Bhagavatam together? And the person would just watch and say, I have to go, I'm sorry, I don't have time now. And the people said yes, and he would read the Bhagavatam. because that's one's taste, that's one's advancement in spiritual life. And that's what's going to be highlighted from this story. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. This sound vibration in the heart, again and again, as much as we can, always, constantly, that will just awaken the devotion within our heart. And when the devotion is awakened in our heart, then all material things become distasteful, and you're not attracted by material activities. So when you get the taste, and that's how the taste comes. And Prabhupada described that example, which is from the Upadeshamrita, like someone who is suffering from jaundice. He has no appetite. He can't taste things. But the cure for it is to actually take sweet things, which taste bitter to you. And that actually purifies the liver, and eventually you're able to taste them. The madhuram, madhuram, adharam, madhuram, etam, madhuram, 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 sweet, 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 sweet. Krishna has sweet, sweet. We don't taste it. But by chanting and hearing it, so he's very fortunate. His heart becomes purified of material desires, and he becomes attracted to the devotees. Obhyasadev, in that association, and by the mercy of those great souls, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna, and thus listening in attentively, my taste for hearing of increased at every step. So in that association, he heard them. That's what the association means. When you associate with great devotees, you contact their heart, and the main way in which the heart of a pure devotee is manifest is most visibly is in his words. When we think about Prabhupada and we think about his devotion, what do we think about most? In one sense, we think about he was always talking about Krishna. Prabhupada never talked about anything else but Krishna. See how glorious and how attractive that becomes. And listening, Sanara, this is what he wants to show, the efficacy. And then I read the last time that famous statement, the whole idea is that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, one can become one of the associates of the Lord. One can attain the highest perfection of life simply by attentive hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the right source. This is our shelter. So, and then it describes now what happens. Oh, great sage, as soon as they got a taste of the personality of God, the natural attraction was there, so then the attention to hear became unflinching. And as soon as the taste developed, then he could realize when the taste developed for serving Krishna, he could realize that his real self was a devotee and not the body. I could realize that it was only my ignorance I had accepted the gross and subtle coverings for both I and the Lord. He realized I'm not the body. I'm the spirit soul, which is eternal. My real identity is I am Krishna Das. I am not such and such born in New York. I am not a man, and I'm born in New York. I am not from this particular religion. I am a devotee of Krishna, and that's my eternal position, and I am experiencing it. I am experiencing it. Because a devotee, his experience of being a devotee is his love for Krishna. And he realized that this is actually the nature of the soul, because I am satisfied. It's the natural position of the soul, not the enjoyer and the controller. That's incongruent with the soul. So he has this startling realization that this is who I am, and this is what I've been lacking my whole life, love for Krishna. I'm not this body. I'm not this life of this is not my real life. Yes, I have a body. I may have to work through my desires to become purified. I may have to satisfy those desires to be peaceful in mind. But ultimately, my eternal relationship is with Krishna, and all others are temporary, and I'm experiencing it, and I'm satisfied by it. And it's real. And how do I know it's real? I was hungry, I ate, I'm satisfied. No one can tell me I'm not satisfied. No one can tell me my needs are not met. I was hungry, I'm eating, it's filled. So that real lack that I was trying to fulfill my whole life with sensual pleasure, with ego gratification, with political maneuvering, with position, which never really satisfied. Now I'm satisfied because I'm finally actually feeding the real self. And the Prabhupada always gives the example of the bird cage and the bird and the person. Someone just got on here, and a little technical difficulty, okay? And the bird cage and the bird, and someone is feeding, cleaning the bird cage but not feeding the bird. So this is bhakti parishanu bhavava riktir. That three things happen when one performs bhakti. It says just as when you eat, three things happen. The pain subsides, you feel satisfied, and you get pleasure. It's the same thing. These three things happen simultaneously. This is how this verse is given, I believe, in the 11th canto to show how effective the process of bhakti is. Simultaneously, because in other processes one has to work so long to become detached from this material world in my lifetime, and then they see someone comes to devotional service without perhaps that jnana samskara to vairagya, and if he actually takes to this process, my God, he actually takes to it. And even if you say, oh, we're not, but just look at the devotees' lives. Even if they're not completely successful living in the Western world, the things that we're giving up and able to live happily, regulating or giving up sex desire and things, unheard of. So this happens when one realizes the nature of the soul. He feels it, yes. So these three things happen. Detachment, just like eating, the pain goes, you become satisfied, and you get pleasure. And Pradyumna Prabhu made a very, very nice point that they all go along. So if somehow your detachment is there, but your bhakti is not there, you're becoming impersonal. Because when detachment comes, the devotion should come also. Or if your devotion is coming, but detachment is not coming, you're becoming sahajiya. You're taking devotional service cheaply. So one who actually, this is why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was critical of people who were taking prematurely to esoteric and advanced practices of devotional service. The reason he was critical is because when you actually have rag, then detachment automatically comes. Rag can come at any stage by the mercy of the devotee, somehow or other. It can come at any stage by the mercy of the devotee. But when you get that, there's no prerequisite for rock. It can come by the inspiration of a devotee. But when that attachment for Krishna comes, and it's real, deep rock, then automatically detachment will also come. It's not that you have the rock, but the detachment. That will also come. So he can realize this. Thus, during the two seasons, the rainy season and autumn, I have the opportunity to hear those great souls constantly chant the unadulterated glory. As my flow of passion, devotional service began, the coverings of mode of passion once vanquished. So he's now at a very advanced stage. It's become spontaneous. And it's always described like the flow of a river, because the flow of a river can't stop. And that's the nature when one actually has love. You can't stop love. Because once one has love in his heart, devotion in his heart, it's causeless. There's no external motive for it. So how do you stop it? You can stop any activity. If you're doing something for money, then you take away the money, you can stop the activity. If you're doing something for prestige, take away the prestige, you stop the activity. But when you actually have devotion, then there's nothing external to it that caused it. So how can you stop it? You cannot stop devotion. That's why it's called causes, ahaitiki, apatiyata, unbroken, it flows. And when that happens, when that begins to flow from the heart spontaneously, then tadaraja is tamobad. There's no passion. The qualities of material nature, you're liberated. You're situated in your original position. You've taken complete shelter of Krishna. Krishna, I am yours. And that particular consciousness of unalloyed surrender to the Supreme Lord. Haribo. Right, okay. Now Narada Muni sums it up. Tasyaiva me niraktasya. Tasvitasya hatayanasa. I was very much attached to the sages. Why was he attached? He was attached because they gave him Krishna consciousness. You're attached to people who love you and make you loving. That's who you're most attached to. You're most attached to the people that made you, that gave you love in your heart by loving you. So he was very much attached to those sages, just like we're very much attached to Prabhupada. Because he loved us, and therefore he causelessly gave us Krishna consciousness without motive. And by that, he sparked some devotion in our heart. And to the extent that we are receptacles for his mercy, and therefore experience that love in our heart, is to the extent that we'll become attached to him. So he was very much attached to those sages. He says, I was also dantasya. I was a very gentle person in behavior, you know, humble. In other words, they were spiritual authorities, and I was gentle. I could accept their spiritual authority. I was humble. I didn't have authority issues, Narada was saying. Of course, you don't accept just to authority because it's above you. We're talking about authority that's above you by the qualification. I was gentle, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. Yesham prantakatam papam jananam punya kamanam. Vandamohanyama vajanti majrihabhataha. Yesham prantakatam. These unlimited sins, they become eradicated by service, because when you're performing service, then when you perform service, you neglect the irrational impulses of the mind and senses. Someone becomes dedicated in service. We see how the devotees would go out preaching, and all their sinful reactions would come out in the terms of passion and ignorance, but they neglected them for service. People dedicated their lives to Guru. And they neglected that for service. So what happens? When you neglect the sinful desires coming from your heart, you become purified of them. And if you live a life of dedication and service, then the stock of sinful reactions in your heart, they go. When you surrender, there's three types of karma. There's the accumulated karma that you have yet to experience. There's the karma that you're creating now, and there's the karma that's already in process. For example, let's say that you have a cold. So you can surrender to Krishna all you want, but the effects of that have already taken place, and then they'll go along with the body. So all the sins were eradicated by service. Because by performing tapasya, which means to engage in Krishna's service, to surrender to Guru and Krishna, despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses, the sins that come out when they're not activated upon, you become purified of. And if you act upon them, then you place them back within your heart. So if you live a life of surrender to Guru in service, you become so purified. And then the experience of that, in my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses. I was strictly following them with body and mind. This is all a product of his humility that allowed him to experience bhakti purely. Purport. These are the necessary qualifications of a prospective candidate who can expect to be elevated to the position of pure, unadulterated devotee. Such a candidate must always seek the association of pure devotees. A neophyte devotee must faithfully serve the pure devotee, but he should be very much obedient and follow the instructions. These are the signs of a devotee who is determined to achieve success even in the existing duration of life. So it means that it's not easy to do it all in one life, but if someone, by hearing an association, gets that faith, if you want to do it in one life, this is how. This was Prabhupada's example. Obedient and strictly follow the instructions of the, and become completely purified. So this is Narada Muni, and as they were leaving, those bhakti vedantas who were kind to poor-hearted souls, Dina Vatsala, instructed me in the most confidential subject, which is instructed by the personality of Godhead. So they saw that he was so, has so much faith, that they can fully give him the absolute truth. It's hard to give someone completely the absolute truth if they don't have faith, and if they're not detached. Because the absolute truth does not exactly coincide with how we view the world. I always describe that essential factor of enjoyment is it must be done without guilt. And therefore, whatever we're doing in this world to give us pleasure subtly affects our conceptions of the world. In other words, we develop an idea and a philosophy very subtly to justify what we're doing. So as long as you're not detached and surrendered, your philosophical outlook will not be the absolute truth, because the absolute truth may pass judgment on some of the things you're attached to in a way that will dampen your ability to enjoy them. And therefore, for the great souls to give you the full truth, they have to see either that you're detached enough to accept it or that you're faithful enough to accept it. Because what will generally happen if someone gives you the truth, which dampens your justification for some of your pleasures. And if the stronger you're attached, the more committed you are to the philosophy that justifies your attachment, and the more you see the world that way. So if a spiritual authority sees that because of your attachments that you're holding on to some misconception, he may say, well, if I give him the whole truth, then he will lose faith in me. And that faith that he has in me, to the extent that he has faith in me, is his spiritual hope. So to maintain that faith, I won't give him everything right now. I'll just give him the things that he can digest, you know. But if someone is completely detached and completely faithful, then the full message can come. And that's what happened to Narada Muni. The Bhaktivedanta, they saw his condition, they gave him the complete message of the Bhagavatam. In fact, the whole reason that Vyasadeva initially didn't give the Bhagavatam directly is the concept of the personality of Godhead can be the biggest dampening of one's spirit of enjoyment. Because the ultimate spirit of enjoyment, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, and the Bhagavatam says, no, here is God. So therefore, even within the Vedas, and sometimes when Vyasa initially read the Vedas, he didn't directly give, here is God. Because people weren't ready to accept it. Because of the false ego, they needed a more impersonal conception. It's less threatening to your internal desire. Let me be the enjoyer, let me be the controller. And even in our own lives, we have to see how much are we really ready to accept that the position we want of the enjoyer and controller is eternally occupied. And what that actually means. So here we're seeing, I mean, Narada Muni is an example. He's a person who says, no, one life, I'm finished with this. One life. You know, so it's the ideal. We may not be Narada Muni, but we should be honest enough to accept if this is the direction we want to go, we have to come to this point. I'm going to stop now and see, are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bol.
This is Nanda Dolo Das. Please accept Mahambalabhi.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you know, I know I have heard from you from many times that we are Krishna's Das and everything, but literally we understand. But how to embed that thing in the heart?
Well, there's theoretical realization, and there's theoretical, and there's what's the opposite of theoretical? Realized.
Practical?
No, I guess there's theoretical and realized. Gyan and vigyan. There's realized. So theoretically we understand it. How do you realize it? You realize the truth by applying the truth. So even though we don't see that we're servants of God, we understand that we are, and we act that we are. And by doing that, you begin, this is classical Vedic psychology. That which you theoretically accept is true, but do not see is true, you will see is true by the application of that truth. And you know, how do we realize that we're servants of Krishna? What does servants of Krishna mean? It means that we develop love and devotion. How do we develop love and devotion? We turn our consciousness towards Krishna. But bhakti is that you're asking, how do we become devotees? Bhakti. Bhakti is the means of realizing the absolute truth. And what is realizing the absolute truth also means realizing your position in relationship to the absolute truth. That's part of the absolute truth. So we're not realizing that because we're unaware. We're ignorant. We've turned ourselves away. So how do you realize the absolute truth? Bhakti. And what does bhakti mean? It means you turn your consciousness towards God. And that's what chanting is. We can see when we're chanting, the mind wants to turn. I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller. So you turn to that sound vibration. And it makes an impression in the consciousness. That's why we have to be attentive. When you're attentive and you hear the mantra, then it makes an impression in the consciousness. Krishna's God, I am a servant. Krishna's God, I am a servant. Krishna's God, I am a servant. And it's not just an internal, in other words, it's creating what we call our samskaras, our impressions from our previous life, are I am the enjoyer, I am the controller in so many, so many ways. So how do you change those samskaras, those impressions? Well, you have to neglect them and you have to create others. So how do we neglect them?
We don't follow the life that I am the enjoyer and the controller. And I'm not talking, again, I don't want this misunderstood, just renunciation. Of course, we have to satisfy some desires and work our way through it, but there's a process. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. We don't follow those, and we create other impressions. And those other impressions, in other words, the other impressions is, I am the servant of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We pray. Please engage me in your service. And not only we're praying to engage me in your service, we're doing so. And when we do that, we start to develop an attraction for it. I was reading an article there was an article about, since I'm in New York, I picked up on New Yorker magazine here, and I looked at it last night. It was about this lady who went, she's a famous, like, chef, and she thought, let me do something for the people that are poor she is. So she was only working in rich things, so she went and became, like, the cafeteria director of the district, you know, because she saw that, you know, it's actually killing children in our society is the way they eat. And what was shocking is that in other countries, like they described Italy and France and things, where in America, the budget was only like $3 for breakfast and lunch. In these countries, it was $7 or $8, and they don't have, in other words, they would try to give kids better food. So, but she still had this budget. So she made, like, better food. And she had a rebellion among the kids because they had such a taste for junk. So this is what happens is when you have attractions in your heart for the wrong things. We have attractions for the junk of non-devotion within our heart. And then devotion comes and we still don't like it. But so she described how she subtly changed the menu, whatever the case is. But, you know, there's a whole process of actually, that's how do you become a devotee? How do you want to become a devotee? There's a whole science outlined in the Bhagavatam, outlined by our acharyas. And we do it under the guidance of the Vaishnavas and the practices of devotional service. But it all begins with humility, that we can accept spiritual authority. And the basis of accepting spiritual authority is that we're taking the risk that we want to change. I see how much, even in myself, there's a fear of spiritual authority. Not just authority per se, because we may have authority issues, but spiritual authority. Because we have an attraction to junk. We have all these samskaras. So we have to hear. That's the purpose of this class. We hear what's right. We neglect those things. And in a practical way, under the guidance of people who have some realizations, we learn how to progress and how to guide our life in a way that we make a practical plan to progress, to become devotees. And if that doesn't help, you should understand that by God's mercy, the whole world is moving to make us devotees. You know, I wish I had it now, but I do have it. I got an advanced copy of my book, and in class I'll read it, because there's things that I wrote that I could like share, and it could be, but this one monk, I think Mahamuni actually sent it to me. It was this article by this one monk, which I printed, on how many ways this world and the suffering that we experience, you know, and how many ways it's meant to bring us closer to God. Even you look at death. What's happening at death? And at death, the false ego is being crushed because the false ego is, I'm the enjoyer and controller. And what's happening at death? It's becoming so evident that I'm not controlling because I don't want to die. And then it becomes even more evident. I'm not the enjoyer. Why? Because I'm not the controller. Because to enjoy, I have to be able to control the world to satisfy my desires. It's beyond me. And then what happens to the sincere person at death? What happens is, well, you're the controller, you're the enjoyer, I am the servant. And then once lets go of the false ego, he feels that shelter of his eternal relationship with Krishna. That's real shelter. There's no other shelter than that, because that's the only eternal position of happiness that can be controlled, because it's controlled by God. If we surrender and give our hearts to God in the holy name, then we're in the shelter of God. And what can God do? God can protect that position of devotion eternally. And there's no other position, even of material happiness or any type of happiness, that can last eternally, because it's not substance. It's not based on reality. Only reality can be eternal. Illusion is not eternal. And therefore, whenever you're in illusion, I'm the controller, you're always in anxiety, because it's temporary. It's filled with duality. So this is the only help. And therefore, take shelter of the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, this temporary material world is full of suffering. Take shelter of the holy name of Krishna as your only business. So, you know, we hear again, and we learn again, and we move towards that practically. And, you know, by Prabhupada's mercy, even if we're not successful in one sense in living this ideal, I'm not successful in living this ideal, but by his grace and the association of devotees and old age, everything's moving to fulfill that goal of unalloyed devotion. Because the thing that's preventing us, which is the material world and the body and our enjoyments, boy, that's really being taken away. And what to speak of the humility of old age. Prabhupada cried when he once was walking on Venice Beach and he saw these old people in Bermuda shorts with shoes on and socks, playing shuffleboard. Prabhupada cried. Is he thinking, look at the people wasting their lives. Are we going to be like this? In old age, are we going to go out and play shuffleboard? Or are we going to go to Mayapur? Are we going to go to Vrindavan? You know, I mean, so, we have a life. I mean, the sooner we do it, the better. But at least we make a plan to progress, and the minimum we do is take sadhu sangha. I mean, this is the only reason I'm giving the class here, to give devotees association with Prabhupada's words. But how many devotees can't even take the time to do that? Not from me, but from someone. Then it becomes a question of sincerity. Well, then you say, well, you know, how can I realize to become a servant? Well, there's a practice, devotional service. It begins with sadhu sangha. It begins with hearing. Then do it. And if you don't do it, then I can't help. Then one can't help you. I think someone said to Prabhupada, you know, well, what if I can't follow? And Prabhupada said, then I can't help you. It was a simple answer. So it's just a question of hearing what to do, and doing it, and part of doing it is hearing. So at least, I mean, I'm trying to do my part as a devotee and a servant of Prabhupada to give some other venue for people to get this hearing. There's temples, there's books, there's tapes, there's things, but, you know, Prabhupada's created sadhus, they travel around the world, they live among us. We just have to take advantage of it. And if we don't, then there, you know, what can you say? Prabhupada would say, I cannot help you. But Nandadulal, I saw you when I was staying with, when I visited Jayadvaita and Madhupati's house, so I see that when there's a sadhu, you know, what you're doing is what you should be doing. You want to realize you're a servant of Krishna, and you associate with people like Jayadvaita Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj. You know, we put a lot of attention through your bani, through your talk. You know, there's no doubt.
Okay. And,
you know, I just wanted to add, you know.
Hi, Bill. Is anybody else still there? Like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Rasik Yal.
Rasik?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Maharaj?
Yeah, would you like to add anything, Rasik Yal?
Yeah, I just wanted to, unfortunately, because of my forgetful mind, I forgot this morning, so I missed the first part of the class.
Yeah.
But I sure appreciated the part that I did hear.
Thank you so much.
And I also wanted to ask you, when is your book coming out and where will it be available? How will I be able to get it?
What's happening is we got the advance copies, and they said it'll take about 40 days. And anybody who's a regular listener of the Sangha, they can just send me their name by my email and they'll be mailed one, because I have a patron that wants to distribute 100 of the books. He's one of the listeners on the Sangha.
Okay, so then we can just send him the check or whatever?
We'll give gifts to. People who listen regularly, we're just going to send one. Just need your address, that's all.
Okay, yeah. We send you an email.
Yeah.
But I mean, if we want to send some donation, Maharaj, do we just who do we make it out to, and how do we?
Okay, that? I'll send you that information. I believe my secretary Kunji Kishori sent some PayPal thing. Mahamuni has the information now.
Okay.
But I'll do that. But we'll. But I think when you see the book, it may be a book that's good to give to people who are non-devotees of
that's
a certain
what I need. That's
class.
That's the type of thing I've been looking for.
Yeah, I think it's the kind, even though it has some inside terms and everything. At least my editor, when we went over it, he definitely took out things that could be misunderstood. You know, there's things that won't be understood because there's some language I may use or a Sanskrit word.
Right.
But any concepts that someone would be turned off to or something, a few things like that. That's out. So I looked at the book, and I think it'd be just interesting reading. So I'm hoping that that's the way it'll be used, too.
Great.
Okay, thank
Great.
You.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Anastasia.
Anastasia, Hare Krishna. Thank you. I got your letter. I should answer it in the next few days. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I like very much the class. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's nice that you're... I guess you've got a... How early is there, Anastasia?
No, this day, Sunday is okay.
What time in the morning is it there? Is it the morning?
No, now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's on Wednesdays, it's night time. The early morning.
Okay.
The early morning.
Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Gail?
Yeah. Just the interesting thing about this class for me was that it's amazing. It drew out every single one of my most pressing questions. You know, my topmost questions, I don't know, 4 or 5 of them.
Really?
Every single one of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's encouraging for me, Gail.
Well,
hey, Gail.
It's frustrating for me because they're just questions now without the answers. So.
What's that?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
it brought out the questions, not the answers. What?
Yes, that was the frustration.
Oh, and that you can't ask them.
Right.
Okay, well, next time I come into New Jersey area.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, from my class, I raise more doubt.
No, because these are long-term, pressing questions.
Write them down. Send them to me today. Write them down and send them to me today. I'll call you on the phone.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, because on this forum, it would be too long. That this is like... Okay, we'll make a time to speak on the phone, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Bharati.
Hare Bhav, Bharati. Hare Krishna. Nice to hear your voice. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Sridevi.
Sridevi.
Hare Krishna, Sridevi. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you for those transcriptions of
It was my pleasure. Thank you that I could do that. And I'm looking forward to get a copy of your book.
Yes. And you can look at it and see in your own mind if it's, if it's something you could give to people who are kind of interested, in spiritual life but haven't come to Krishna consciousness. I think it's journal entries, so they're short things, and it's very attractive. I saw the cover. We'll do that soon. I'll get in touch with you about that.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Very good. Sridevi is from Radadesh. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. Then we'll end now. But, generally, generally a few people generally say hello, but there's a lot more people out there. But throughout the week, different weeks, different people say, and but there are actually, last week there was about 27, 30 people on it, so there's quite a few people listening. So we'll go now. Vanchakopa Tarubhyascha, Dipasindu Veva Chapatitanam Pavanevi Ovation Devi.